Welcome to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Christine DiMatte, filling in for Tom Hudson, who for the last several weeks has been hosting Decision Florida. And that show will be coming your way in less than an hour. In the meantime, just a reminder that we'd like your voice heard on the Florida Roundup, as always. So please keep our call-in number handy. It's 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. And by all means, join today's conversation. You can also tweet us at WLRN, and you can find our Facebook group as well. That's the Florida Roundup. Wherever you have a great destination, like Miami Beach, being there is great. Walking around, enjoying everything it has to offer. Now, driving your car around there, sometimes not so much. The traffic can be congested, and the parking, well, let's just say it can be rough. Miami Beach is trying to fight the gridlock with a proposed light rail system, but the original plan has been scaled back. Now, downsized or not, it's still sparking a fair degree of controversy. Joining us here in the studio is Miami Herald reporter Joey Fletches. Joey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
And he covers Miami Beach for the Herald. Also with us, Jimmy Morales. He's Miami Beach city manager. Great to have you here, Jimmy.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Jimmy, first off, please run down the list of reasons that Miami Beach wanted a light rail system in the first place.
Well, you touched on them. Number one, obviously, getting to the beach and getting around the beach can be very difficult with traffic. Obviously, the parking issues. Ultimately, the only way you're ultimately going to get cars off the road, and not all of them, but create options and alternatives, is public transportation and transit.
And what was the original plan?
Well, the original plan was always a two-phase plan, which was a loop which was a loop that did 5th, Washington, either 17th or Dade, and Alton. Early in the process here, we decided that maybe we'd do the loop, but as we were going through the process, funding issues, et cetera, we thought maybe, you know, walk before you run. Let's start with the 5th and Washington piece and then see what the temperature is thereafter.
Okay.
In the community.
So we're not talking the New York City subway system here. We're talking about one loop. It went across 5th Street, up Washington Avenue, and then across where, and then down again?
Well, it would have come across either 17th or Dade Boulevard. Probably Dade Boulevard would have been the solution, and then down Alton again. That's been sort of a loop that's been talked about ever since you were talking about Baylink back in 2004, the Miami Beach side of the broader Miami Beach corridor between downtown and the beach.
Okay. And Joey, when you were doing your reporting, what kind of reception was the original light rail system getting from the people who live in Miami Beach? It's not only a place where people visit, it's a place where people live. So what was the reaction?
That's right. A lot of people who live in Miami Beach had some mixed reactions to this. There were people who said that they would find utility in a loop like this. They would probably use it to get around. Other folks didn't see the point, or they saw more trouble with taking a lane away from vehicular traffic and giving it to a light rail system. There's some people who firmly believe that people will not get out of their cars, and this is a car culture that is going to be hard to push back against with a light rail system.
And Jimmy, the original plan was scaled back. It was downsized. What's happened to the original loop? What does it look like now?
Well, what it would look like now is, an L or an inverted L, which would be 5th Street from basically Alton Road to Washington, and then up Washington to Dade Boulevard, and then a short little spur to the high school, because that's where, next to the high school, is where our maintenance facility is going to be. It's about a 2.3 mile piece of a track, which is actually fairly consistent. A lot of other cities, when they do the first step of modern streetcar, usually do something in the 2 to 3 mile range. So it's sort of consistent with, start with something a little smaller, see how it works, get the kinks out, and then perhaps when the full link is built, we could finish the loop or do other expansions and hopefully have it even be federally eligible at that point.
We're going to talk about possible complications with that a bit further on in the show.
Sure.
But downsized or no, there are still people who in Miami Beach who are opposed to it, scaled back or no. One of them is Robert from Miami Beach, and he started a Facebook page called Stop the Miami Beach Train. And Robert, you're on the air. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's actually Stop the Train Miami Beach.
Stop the Train Miami Beach. And you started this Facebook page when, Robert?
I started it around July 23rd, after I learned of the quick movement of it and got some shocking information that it was already a foregone conclusion that this was going to become a reality.
Okay. And are you comforted at all by the fact that the plan has been scaled back? What are your feelings about that?
Mixed emotions. On the one hand, Mr. Manager did state recently that the decision was at least a year off. Final decision, even though they're considering an interim agreement next week. The route still makes no sense.
Why do you say that?
Well, it's a half a mile by a mile and a quarter. And, you know, when we speak mass transit, what mass are we actually transiting here?
Okay, Jimmy, just a sec, Robert. I'm going to have Jimmy Morales respond to that. Jimmy, what response do you have to Robert's comment?
Well, look, number one, the plan is for this to be connected and at one point even hopefully seamless with a link across the bay. We're also working with the county and the city of Miami on that piece. There's a memorandum of understanding, and we're working toward that piece. So clearly that's the goal here. And a year from now, as Robert correctly points out, when a real decision point is going to be made that would actually involve a financial commitment, I'm sure the commissioners won't make that decision unless they're fairly confident that link is going to be built. But we never said we were going to build a system. We were going to build a streetcar Miami Beach to hopefully prime the pump to get the whole link going.
Okay. And Robert, I'm going to keep you on the line a second, okay? We're going to turn to Joey Fletcher now. Joey, you've been keeping up on the other rail projects, the one that Jimmy has just spoke about, the one with Miami-Dade, the one with the city of Miami. So, I mean, how are these all interlinked, or are they even yet? Have we even gotten that far?
Well, it's definitely clear that Miami Beach is going ahead of everybody else, and in at least speaking to, say, the policymakers, the politicians, their hope is what Jimmy's saying, which is to try to ignite a fire here and get them going, because as of right now, the county and the city of Miami and even the Florida Department of Transportation, they've all gone in to help pay for an environmental study that's a very much an early stage precursor look at what Baylink could be. But as far as actually engaging in with a vendor, like a train company, and that has not happened yet anywhere else other than Miami Beach. So it's still, Miami Beach is still in the early process of their construction of this train, but the other agencies haven't even gotten that far.
Okay, and Robert, I'm going to turn to you now if you're still on the line. You still with us?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
I am.
You just heard what Joey and what Jimmy had to say. When you were talking to your neighbors, the rest of your neighbors who are on this Facebook page and who agree with you, what are their fears?
Well,
the primary fear.
When they learn about the project, their reaction is it's a lack of a, I'm quoting now. Most of the people say it's either crazy or insane. It costs $100-some million per mile. It is very expensive to maintain. And one doesn't have to look very far on the internet to see that these systems have been built lately to very poor performance.
Okay, you know,
they come
stay
in
with
way
us.
Over budget.
Correct.
And way under deliver on ridership.
Okay, we're going to address that. Jimmy, would you address Robert's comment? You know, he is right about that. A lot of these rail systems are over budget, and, you know, they come in way over budget and underutilized. And could you comment on that?
I don't know. I haven't studied other systems to see, you know, how far over budget or how underutilized. We're doing, number one, our ridership analysis. I believe it was the Portland system that actually far exceeded their ridership numbers compared to what they originally thought. We believe that, and just judging by the reaction we've had to our trolley systems and the significant ridership we're seeing there, we believe there's a significant appetite. But, you know, that's all part of the environmental analysis. One of the things, Robert and others I know have expressed some frustration is, you know, the environmental analysis process that you have to go through for these transit projects is very slow, methodical, deliberate. And you're really gathering information more than giving information. But we're doing an extensive ridership analysis. We're doing an analysis of the corridors. We've given very conservative numbers on construction. Part of the interim agreement will be to get a vendor to give us real concrete numbers that the commission would have before them a year from now, before they made a final decision. So there's still a lot of questions about this that we can't answer today.
Right.
But we're going through this process to try to have real answers. And then the policymakers can make a decision based on real facts at that point.
Okay. And Robert, I'm going to go back to you half a second before I leave you now, before we end the call. What will it take? You just heard what Jimmy Morales had to say. What would it take for you to be convinced that this is a good thing for Miami Beach?
Do you want a right to vote on the streetcar project, Miami Beach.
Okay.
Robert, I will be working towards that.
Thank you very, very much for your comments, Robert. Okay. Put it to people. That's what Robert wants.
Well, it's by law, nothing that is involved in this process requires a referendum. Obviously, if we were doing some different type of funding mechanism, which right now is not on the table, that would require a referendum, then that would take place. Again, it's a policy decision. You know, whether or not the commissioners want to do that, whether it would be a binding or straw ballot. You know, obviously, we'll be taking the temperature in less formal ways of the community. And one of the good things I've learned in 3.5 years as a manager of Miami Beach, when the time comes to have the public hearings and meetings in the chambers, I have no doubt they will show up and voice their opinions and communicate very clearly. So I'm not worried that the commissioners are going to do something that the community would not be supportive of. The goal here is to try to build a consensus. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, we probably won't move forward.
Well, you know, on the subject of referenda, Broward County is going to be voting pretty soon on how to fund their transportation projects. So we're reaching out at this moment. Our next segment involves that. So Broward County listeners, please call in and keep our number handy, 800-743-9576. We need to take a break. Jimmy, before I leave you, Miami Beach has other challenges right now. One of the biggest is that it's still an active Zika transmission zone. So let's talk about priorities here a second. Does Miami Beach still have time to pull the plug on this light rail thing or postpone it until that Zika situation, we get literally healthier there in Miami Beach?
Well, I can tell you the good news is we haven't had a new Zika case in Miami Beach since September 30th. So we're 35 days into it. God willing, in nine more days, we'll be at that point where we've gone 45 days and the zone will be lifted. So all eyes on November 14th, we hope it will be good news. We've got the resources for both. I mean, obviously the commission has the full power at the next commission meeting, next month, the month after, even if the interim agreement is entered into, we can walk away from this project at any time without any consequence financial to the vendor. So we've got a lot of resources dedicated on the Zika issue. We work closely with the county, the Department of Health. So one does not impact the other. We are obviously trying to get out of the Zika zone and reassure folks that it is still a wonderful place to live, work, and play.
We've been talking to Jimmy Morales. He's city manager for Miami Beach. And also joining us was the Miami Herald's Joey Fletches. Thank you both. We need to take a little break. Coming up, Broward County voters have their own public transportation troubles. Will a sales tax hike solve them? We'll be back in a few seconds.